Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing over there?
Keeping busy.
Yeah, it is that time of year for sure. Definitely. And don't think I'm going to get away without giving a quick shout out to the alma mater. And I got the Bombers playing later this afternoon. So good luck to everybody that's headed up that direction right now and listening on the radio. That is going to be exciting. And you might see me make an appearance there later this afternoon. So
yeah, it's weird not having anything to do now that Kamiakin's out.
Absolutely. I'm going to keep it going another couple weeks, hopefully. And we've got in the studio with us our resident in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Got the crud a little bit, but hopefully it won't stay around long because Turkey Day is calling, and that is I'm going to be eating a ton. I know that.
Absolutely. Man, I had that 3 weeks ago. I hope I didn't give it to you. It's nice to be back healthy and firing on all cylinders. So I definitely wish you the best of luck there. So I've got we always like to start off with a national crazy real estate story. And I got one that's pretty interesting. And talk about finding yourself in a situation that you might not have expected to be in. But it was reported, and this is coming out of actually Celebrity Style Homes from El Decor. Interesting source, but just wanted to cite that. Interestingly enough, Trump Tower condo prices in Manhattan have dropped to their lowest price since the financial crisis. Currently, 21 units for sale or rent at that building. Average price per square foot in Trump Tower down to $2,100, which seems crazy in our market, but that's actually down 13% from 2016 and down 23% from 2015. Median sales price, $2.2 million, is the lowest since 2007. In comparison, interesting to note, what's the rest of the Manhattan market done or the Midtown market done? It has increased 5.6% since 2015. Needless to say, not doing any favors to that market in that situation. Something tells me that has something to do with approval ratings as president there. So you got to imagine owning property in that situation. I think prior to that, you might have actually expected those values to increase. So it's going to be really interesting as they track that, you know, over the course of the next 4-8 years, see what happens to those prices. But when you're looking at a market or you're looking at a property that's had that decrease in value, when the rest of the market has been appreciating, there's opportunities in markets like that when that happens. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that turns around, what happens. You're also looking at possibly increased security screening. So if you live in that building now, where that residence is, now, currently, you're required to go through increased Secret Service type screening to get up to your apartment or your condo. And so a lot of people throwing down that type of money usually are not looking for increased hassles in their life. A lot of times it's a lowering. So a lot of factors going into play there that I think probably were not anticipated by a lot of people prior to. So anyway, I just thought thought that was a really interesting article. We had done shows, you know, we had done a show 3 or 4 months ago about outside factors influencing sales, and talk about a wild card factor that the namesake of your building becomes president, and then those actions affecting the real estate value. So, yeah, that was a big one for sure. Another thing we're going to talk about is I'm consistently talking a little bit about what's going on in the economy and my thoughts about how we're going to see that influence rates over the next 6 months. So very, very interesting statistic just released by Elliott Eisenberg Economist. The economy, quarter two coming back, the results of that showing 3.1% GDP growth. So that's humming along at an incredible pace as they're potentially looking at another 3% growth in quarter three of this year. When we look at what is happening there, those are unsustainable rates. So what you're seeing happen is you've seen the unemployment rate decline to basically 4.2%. Already it was low at 4.5%. We're seeing such low unemployment rates, and we're seeing the economy and GDP increase at the same time. I mean, I love how Elliott sums things up, and he says, "We'll soon run out of workers. Only by boosting labor productivity can this continue." I mean, he just, his summary is so, you know, it's just so simple that to see an economist break it down, I love how he gives those stats and then say, yeah, the economy's cruising. This is probably an unsustainable rate. When we see continued fantastic numbers like that in the economy, it is one of the best possible excuses for the Fed to go ahead and continue with some of those increased rates. So we've talked about it a lot. There's a million factors, and a lot of times smarter people, way smarter than myself, that I reference. But everything I'm reading about and seeing, folks, if you haven't locked rates, you might want to be talking to somebody like Mike Denslow about that. One of the things we do is we take what is happening in real life in the Tri-Cities, and we bring that to our radio show topic. So I've presented you a couple national statistics, but let's go local and see how this starts to come into play in the Tri-Cities. So Tri-City Association of Realtors this last week releasing their October data. So everything is solidified, closed out. They go back a couple weeks later, we get that report. We talked about for a while, we had seen inventory go back up and we had seen a spike. Now, once again, end of October, 1st of November this month, we're looking at number of residential listings, and this will happen sometimes as we go into the holiday season, back down in the mid 600s, so 669 being the case there. What's incredible about that is you're looking at sold in October 384 homes. When you're looking at that, we talked about we had increased over a 2 month supply. We thought we were going in that direction that would be a more stable market. Once again, now with that many closing and such a small supply of homes on the market, we're back in one of those situations where we're down below a 2 month supply of homes. The real kicker, as we look back data over the last 3 years, last month's average sold price of the 384 homes that sold, $277,000. That is an incredibly high and actually the record high for the Tri-Cities when we're looking at that average price. If we go back to October of 2016, we're talking $247,000, and we go back to 2015, 227,000. Now, some really quick math, 10% of 240,000, 24,000 plus, that brings us, I mean, we're talking a 10% appreciation rate year over year, the last 2 years for those October numbers. Folks, those are incredible numbers that we're reporting there. And also 400 pending. We talked last week, I had reported that the 30-day trailing pending number was back up. The market's hot still. I mean, every indication of these numbers that we're looking at, still a hot market. We got about a two-month reprieve, but you see what happens when we had that. We also spiked back up in our number of pendings. We had the buyers waiting to go ahead and execute and take advantage of that small, small blip that we had in the market. And once again, we're right back where we were with crazy. So what happens? Yes, if you've thought about putting your home on the market, we've had a lot of sellers calling us saying, Lance, should I wait or should I put the home on the market? We really go to the numbers. We take a look at the numbers, and there's a big argument for having that home on the market right now, regardless of what's going on with the holidays, to take advantage. And we did a whole show about that 2 weeks ago. If you have any questions about that, feel free to give me a call. But once again, one of these things that these numbers start to indicate is that I can't find the house that I'm looking for, Lance. You know, it's not on the market right now. These are low inventory numbers. Let's go into a new construction build. So we get into that new construction build, and we take a look at what's happening. And there's a reason why I presented this to you, but just a few minutes ago, I went over a national report about limited labor. So here we are. We're in a market mm-hmm. like the Tri-Cities. We have a ton of pressure on new construction to get these homes built and ready for these buyer pool that we have available. We have limited labor, as reported by these economists. And what happens is we have uncontrollable delays in that construction process. So we might get, you know, we're writing a, you know, a builder might be putting together a great builder schedule, and he gets that schedule put together, and a month and a half later, his sheetrocker shows up, and maybe his sheetrocker ends up, because of labor shortages, his sheetrocker is 2 weeks behind. So doesn't get the house sheetrocked when he had laid out in his schedule. He's 2 weeks late. What happens is 3 or 4 days later, guy shows up to start working on tile. Well, he can't put the tile in because the sheetrocker was 2.5 weeks late. So the tile guy is standing there. He can't put the tile in. So now he has to go on to a different job. And the builder doesn't know when he's going to get that tile guy back. So anybody that thinks these contractors just have it super easy, I got to tell you, there's a lot going on in that market. At the same time, now we have a client that might be two and a half weeks behind. Now we might be a month behind. And maybe they're not going to get into the house January 1st. Maybe now it's going to be, you know, February 5th. Mm. Well, that's difficult, right? Because now you've got a client that they might have only signed, a 3-month extension on their lease. They might have already sold their house and going to be closing, so they don't have anywhere to go. Another thing that pops up is when we come back from the break, the first thing that we're going to talk about that this is coming into play with is now, what do I do about my loan and my interest rate? Because I had thought my house was going to be done and we were going to be closing. So as soon as we come back in from this first break, I'm going to have Mike Denslow jump in and talk to us about what do you do in that situation with your loan? How do you structure that? And we're going to get into a little information about construction financing and find out how some of these lock rates work.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Well, Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been taking a look at some of our stats combined with some of our national factors in that new construction area. We've been selling a lot of new construction. We have a lot of new construction closing, but bottom line is there are outside factors that affect those schedules. We've got some amazing builders in town. A lot of them stay very, very close to their construction schedules, but they're actually facing some outside pressures with labor and regulations and permitting that make it very, very difficult to hit the schedules they're used to hitting. Some of these weather-related construction delays from major storm systems, hurricanes, make it difficult to pin down a closing date in that new construction arena from, you know, within a month or within 30 days. So it's easy to see where you could be 30 days late or 45 days late, and then how that affects clients. So I know, Mike, you deal with a lot of new construction and you guys work in that arena, but what are some of the things you have to do to manage that process on the lending side?
Well, definitely during the winter months, we lock for a little bit longer. We've got four months, 6 months, 9 month locks with float downs. So you do a long term lock with a float down. So in the last 60 days, if rates get better, you can, you know, take advantage of that lower rate. And it really gives kind of a worst case scenario. All right, if rates go up and you're locked here, you're guaranteed this rate. If rates get better, then, you know, in the last 60 days, you can take advantage of that. So people can go to sleep at night knowing, okay, this is going to be my payment. This is my worst case scenario rate. And if it gets better, I get to do that too. So I'd say almost every new construction client that we work with takes one of those extended locks and feel better. And normally it's one, if it's a couple, normally one of them is the worrier of the two, and it takes a lot of that worry out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for years it's been one of those things where maybe you didn't lock because the rates were still dropping, and you know, and we've kind of been all over the map the last year and a half, but I still think statistically it's much lower than even the experts identified would be at this point. But based upon the economic data I'm seeing, I think someone's really going to take a look at that and get some advice and talk to their lender about what works well in their situation. No one has a crystal ball of that situation, but it comes down to, where are you comfortable payment-wise, and can we lock that in for you now so that it meets your goals?
That's exactly what we do. That's the goal, is to take that in. You know, we don't know what it's going to be. You know, maybe during construction, maybe later on in construction. So, yeah, take that out of the equation and say, all right, we're going to lock you here, and if it gets better, you get that.
Absolutely. And Mike, as you talk to people about doing new construction and doing that type of financing, what other factors do they need to look at when they come to talk to you about that?
Well, I always talk about plan B. You were talking about contingencies. You're selling your house, you're leasing, you know, your lease is up, you're giving notice and all of those things. What's the contingency plan if this takes another, you know, 30, 45 days? What about this? What about that? I like to hit every possible scenario that I can come up with. I've done this for 15 years, and I raise a lot of different things with clients so they consider those things. So you're just not sitting there on best case scenario. You're actually considering everything. And a lot of times it's like, all right, well, if your house sells, you're closing on this day and you don't have a place to move into, what are you going to do?
Absolutely. And those are the same type of conversations that we end up having to have. And, you know, I was laughing the other day. I mean, just somebody on my own team, for example, and we do this for a living, you know, went through this. I had an agent that was buying a property, and they did new construction, and I mean, they ended up at their parents' house for 3.5 weeks, and it was not, you know, ideally what they thought the plan was going to set out when it started, but just knew that that's what had happened. Their house had to close, the one they were selling, and it just was one of those situations where there were some delays. There were some labor issues and some building schedule issues, and it took longer to get it done. So that's somebody that's in the business every single day, still having that could happen to them.
I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but you got to think that there's so many other families being affected by this transaction. If those people are buying your house, then they might be selling a house too, and somebody's buying their house. How many dominoes have to fall for this all to work? And if you're the one at the end and all of a sudden you're held up by this new construction, you can't just go back and say, oh, well, everybody's got to wait a week or 2 weeks. It's no big deal. It's just 2 weeks. Well, it might be impacting 5, 6, 7 different things happening. So that's the importance of having the plan B.
Yeah, Mike, you bring up a very, very good point that, yeah, there could be other options that need to happen. And so I'm glad you're having those same discussions that we have on the real estate side, but it makes a big difference being prepared for that. The other thing that I wanted to hit on and talk about today that we see happen a lot is a contingency factor. When you're going into new construction, a lot of times what will happen is there will be a contingency factor there of stuff that I feel like you might not be expecting, you might not know about yourself right now, and the builder might not even know. So we'll talk to people a lot of times and say, okay, we're looking at a $400,000 build, and when we get down to this and we write the contract with the builder, we think it's going to be roughly $400,000. That's going to be our contract with the builder. But we'll talk to our clients and we'll say, okay, now when it's $425,000, how are you going to do the $425,000? Have you called Mike Denzel at Home Street and seen if you can go to $425,000? Do you have that cash available somewhere else? And they'll say like, whoa, 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 Lance, hold on. You know, what are you talking about? You know, $425,000, we just wrote a contract for $400,000. And that's where I'll stop them and say, okay, but here's what's going to happen is if we were working in a perfect science, I would tell you, 400's the deal. Here's what you're going to get. The yard's going to be landscaped 10 feet by 8 feet. The driveway's going to be exactly this. There's going to be no surprises. And it was cookie cutter, and it's perfectly flat with no slope.
And you're never going to change your mind.
Then, yes, it might be 400. But let's say that what happens is, for instance, we go into this. You are down at the carpet store and you're picking out carpet, and you were going to do carpet everywhere, but you see this ceramic plank tile that you think, oh my gosh, I have to have that in the hallways instead of carpet. Can I do that? Contingency factor number one. You might decide at that moment that's more important than keeping the price at 400. How are you going to deal with that? Or you might get into it and you might be, they might pour the rear patio, and you might have decided that it was 10 by 20 and that patio gets poured, and you're out there looking and you're like, gosh, you know what? I would really like to be able to wheel the Traeger around to the garage man door and store in the garage in the winter. Let's just go ahead and pour a sidewalk from that patio around the side of the house. And you know what? We were going to put in a fence, and so the only time to get the excavator and the cement truck back here that's easy, let's just do that now. These type of things happen. These are contingencies that you don't even know you want or need yet. But as the build progresses, sometimes you'll see. So we always like our clients to have a contingency factor there, and then to talk to Mike about that so we know how we're going to deal with that.
Yeah, how does that change
the
payment?
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, instead of, oh, by the way, and Mike's flipping out on me with, 15 days to close because he doesn't, he hasn't had time to structure this.
Yeah, and your contingencies could go on endless. When we built, I think the big one was lighting. and then the hammered copper sink in the kitchen.
Yes, you're right. Like these things happen. You know, I remember the day that we were looking for kitchen countertops, and there was like 22 of them that looked pretty good, and then there was a ray of light coming through the ceiling of the countertop store, and there were angels floating around this one, you know, and my wife is like, you know, over there standing by it, and I was like, why do I have a feeling that is not in the line item budget that I signed up for? So yeah, those things can definitely happen. And it can be stuff as substantial as it can be grading. Maybe a lot is not perfectly flat, and when you grade it, instead of having a slope, you decide you might want retaining walls in there and stuff that, until you get an excavator out there and cut into it, it's really difficult to tell how that's going to turn out compared to your needs. So having that contingency factor in place ahead of time, these are some of the things that we are dealing with, our buyer's agents work with our clients as we go through new construction. There's going to be a lot more of it coming up in the next 6 months. If you're looking at a builder, you're weighing these options, please give me a call and I can put one of my buyer agent new construction specialists with you to help you evaluate those situations. Once again, everybody driving up to the game, go Bombers, have a safe trip, and I'll see you up there in a couple hours. And of course, we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.